Let us pray. God, open our hearts once again today as we seek to learn from the experiences of our ancestors in the faith, so that by the time we leave today, that we will be better equipped to meet the challenges of this life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I can vividly remember my days in Sunday school as a young person, partly because I had an incredible Sunday school teacher. Barb Hera was her name, and she would open up the Bible to us with such passion, with such insight. I mean, here we were, 10 or 12 kids sitting around a table in a small Sunday school room, and this wonderful woman was sharing with us pure, grace-filled, deep spiritual wisdom from her life, because she clearly loved us. She was so caring. She was clearly walking with God. And when we left the class, our hearts and minds were fired with possibilities of living for God. You know, my hope and my prayer is that what happens here in this church every Sunday, not just with us here, but with our children as well, is like that. Especially as we've been moving through these stories of Elijah and Elisha. Words of life, our daily bread, wisdom for living. Today is, International Women's Day. So it's appropriate that today's story focuses our attention on a great woman of faith who happened to cross paths with the prophet Elisha. Now, unfortunately, we're not told her name. She's simply referred to as the Shunammite woman. But the story of her life has reverberated down through the ages to us today. And a few moments ago, we read her story, where we learned that she was a wealthy woman who lived in the village of Shunem. And once when the prophet Elisha was passing through, she invited him into her home to share a meal. Now, one thing leads to another, and she and her husband invite him again and again until it becomes his custom each time he's passing through to have a meal with this family. And then the text tells us that she one day said to her husband, "I am sure that this is a holy man of God. So let's make a small roof chamber with walls, put there a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp, so that he can stay here whenever he comes." So that's what they did. At great personal expense to them, they created this special space so that when the prophet was ministering in and around Shunem, he would have a place to study, a place to pray, a place to rest. And in this, we begin to catch a glimpse into the character of the Shunammite woman. Apparently, this is someone who had a natural instinct to share generously of her financial resources in God's work in the world. Almost always, when you see a great spiritual person, you will see someone like that, someone with a very generous heart, someone who, at her own level, in her own unique way, is determined to invest her best in God's work in the world. For example, this year, for her birthday party, Eleanor Knuth decided that instead of her guests bringing her gifts, she asked that they make these gifts as a donation to the non-food pantry. She then brought all of those items to the church for distribution in our non-food pantry. Similarly, Izzy Mastin, 7 years old, asked everyone to give Kroger gift cards for her birthday in October. And she presented the non-food pantry with $200. Worth of gift cards from Kroger. Reminded me of this scripture, "A little child shall lead them." Both Eleanor and Izzy are demonstrating a beautiful generosity. And all of us, I think, instinctively sense the spiritual beauty in what these girls did. A spiritual heart is a giving heart. And the Shunammite woman was that kind of spirit, giving. But John, you may say, it was easy for her to give. After all, the text says she was a wealthy woman. Yes? I know. But the reality of things is this. If you make over $37,000 a year, you're in the top one-third income class in the United States, one of the wealthiest nations in the world. If you make over $15,000 a year, you're already in the top 10% of wealthy people in the entire world. I know it doesn't feel like that sometimes. So I'm looking today at a room full of people, most of us, who are truly objectively among the world's financial elite. Now, again, you may laugh because it doesn't feel like that often. And I know that that's true. But to whom much is given, Jesus said, to them much will be required. So each one of us who seeks to live spiritually should ask ourselves, not anybody else, I mean, this isn't about anybody else, but ask ourselves, does my level of giving to God's work in the world adequately reflect the generosity of my heart and my gratitude in my heart? Even if it's a dollar, giving that $1 is good for my soul and for enabling God's work in this world. The Shunammite woman got that. And she was quick to share of her financial resources. And because of that, Elisha found himself wanting to give something back to her. So he sent his servant Gehazi to her to ask this question. Since you have taken all this trouble for us, what now may be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king? She answered, no, I live among my own people. In other words, she says to Elisha, I wasn't doing this to get something back. But still, Elisha is his insistence, so he says to Gehazi, there must be something we can do for her. And Gehazi says to him, well, you know, she has no children, and her husband is old. So Elisha summons her and tells her, by this time next year, you will conceive a son. Now, if you paid attention, you caught, she's resistant to this idea. And she basically responds by saying, don't get my hopes up, Elisha. Don't make any promises you can't keep. But it happened, just as the prophet said. The next year, in due season, she birthed a baby boy. Now imagine what that must have felt like for her. And in all of this, I think, we learn an important lesson. Generosity has a way of setting in motion a cycle of blessing in our lives. Give, Jesus said, and it will be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put back into your lap. The Shunammite woman got that. But the story doesn't end there. Things, unfortunately, take a sudden dramatic downturn. And we all know how quickly things can go from great to suddenly very bad. Verse 18, when her child was older, he was out helping his father and helping the reapers when he began complaining, my head, maybe he was having a sunstroke. So the father said to his servant, carry him to his mother. Verse 20 tells us that the child sat on his mother's lap until noon. Now, can you picture this? The Shunammite woman holding her child, telling her child, try to go to sleep. You'll probably feel better after you rest. But as the minutes and the hours go on, he doesn't get better. The pain grows more and more intense. His mother's attitude quickly goes from concern to panic. I'm sure she was praying, God, please don't let this happen. I've never asked you for something like this, but please save my child. And the child sat in her lap until noon, and then he died. Tears blinding her eyes, the text tells us that she carried his body to the upper chamber where the prophet stayed, laid that boy's body on that empty bed, climbed back down. Verse 22 says that then she called to her husband and requested a servant and a donkey. Wondering why she was going today, he asks about it. And what she says next stops me in my tracks. What's the matter? Why are you going to see the prophet today? Has something bad happened? And instead of answering that question, she simply says, it will be all right. And what a statement of faith. She doesn't know how this story is going to end or how it's going to unfold. For all she knows, she has irreversibly lost her child. And yet, in the midst of this tragedy, somehow, calmly, she is able to say, it will be all right. Now, I don't think that what she meant here, that what was happening to her son was right, in a sense, that it was meant to be somehow. I think that she meant by saying this, that whatever comes, however this turns out, even if it's not the way I hoped, somehow God will make a way. We'll smile again. We'll be able to go forward. Reminds me of another great woman of faith, my grandmother. When my grandmother was facing her last days, sick and in pain, I remember saying to her, "Grandma, I'm so sorry that you have to go through all of this." And she said to me, "Honey, don't worry about it. It will be okay. We all get to do this once." There was no bitterness there, just a deep spiritual acceptance that transcends understanding. She had walked so many years with God that her illness was not going to break her spirit. Too many times she had sat at her piano and sang that hymn. Too many times she had sat in her pew at church and sang this same hymn, "It is well with my soul." A hymn, by the way, written by a father when he was grieving the sudden death of four of his daughters in a shipping accident. You know how this song goes, this hymn. "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It's a beautiful thing when someone has long walked with God and is able to say and mean it, "It will be all right." Somehow, some way, God will make a way forward, even if it's not the way that I was hoping for. With God, we can get through this. The Shunammite woman had that kind of faith, a sacred acceptance that pushes through to find what's next. Genuine peace, Gandhi reminds us, cannot be affected by outer circumstances. You know, frankly, it's difficult to find serenity in our lives until we learn that lesson, because there's always something more to worry about. There's always something more that can unsettle us. To catastrophize is the easiest thing in the world to do. And today the Shunammite woman is showing us a better way. When all hell breaks loose in our life, summon the faith that says it will be all right. But we can't stop there. She wasn't just a generous woman. She wasn't just a woman of great faith and serenity. She was also a woman of action. She saddles this donkey and sort of peels out, setting out for the man of God, where he lived permanently at Mount Carmel. He wasn't expecting her, so he sent Gehazi out to greet her and ask her, "Is it well with you, your husband, your child?" And she repeats that phrase one more time, "It is all right." But when she reaches Elisha, she caught hold of his feet. Now, Gehazi approaches to push her away. And in the culture of the time, what she did was brazen. It was unheard of for a woman to initiate physical touch with a man, especially someone as powerful and great as Elisha. Gehazi was going to stop this right now, but Elisha, thankfully, was spiritually sensitive enough to rise above the culture of his time and to realize what was going on. And then she proceeds to give Elisha a piece of her mind. "Did I ask you for a son? No. Didn't I say don't mislead me? Didn't I say don't make promises you can't keep? How dare you?" She basically says to Elisha. Moved then by her grief, Elisha says to his servant Gehazi, "Take my staff and rush to Shunem and lay it on the cheek of the child." "No," she says, "that's not how it's going to be. I will not leave without you." So that's what happens. We're told that Elisha came into the house, saw the child lying dead on the bed, and then he proceeds to raise the child, and her child is alive. And from this, we are meant to learn, I think, an important lesson. One is that when we're talking to God, when we're asking for what we want and what we need, don't hold back. Pour out your heart. Say what you're feeling, even if it feels brazen. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Grab hold of the ankles of Jesus and say, "I've got something to say here. I've got something I need." Ask and you will receive. You have not because you ask not. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't ask, you don't know. And what I see the Shunammite woman doing here reminds me of what the famous missionary William Carey once said. Pray as if everything depends upon God, and act as if everything depended upon you. Bold, persistent prayer, coupled with bold, persistent action, is a powerful formula for living. Are you living that way? And here's why I ask. I see in this story a woman modeling for us the spiritual maturity it takes to accomplish great things. And the time has come for us as a parish, as a progressive spiritual community in Greencastle, to accomplish great things. We too need to build an upper room above Hamilton Hall, not for a profit, but for our children. Our Hamilton Hall renovation is nothing less than the present work of God among us, that we provide not only a safe space for our children to explore their faith, to learn critical spiritual values that will guide them in their life, but also that we create an inviting place for adults to have that same safe space. And now is the time for all of us to get personally involved in making this happen. You need to know that there are people here and outside of St. Andrews that are really excited about what's going on. The diocesan office is certainly excited. They sent us a check this last week for $110,000, $10,000 of which is a grant, $100,000 of which was a loan. And I tell you that because they see potential here at St. Andrews, how we are currently growing, and they are committed to helping us reach our goals. So what about our part in this? As of this morning, the needed financial support stands at about 1/4 of what is needed for our project. We've had 5 pledges submitted towards this clear need for renovating our building. So hopefully today, you've come prepared to generously support the work of God here at St. Andrews. Hopefully today, you are praying with me boldly that God will grow our parish and expand our ministries. Hopefully today, you stand with this community as a person of faith and a person of action. We, like the Shunammite woman, can create a cycle of blessing through our generosity, blessing our children, blessing our own life together, blessing the Greencastle community with a vibrant and progressive church where truly all are welcome. Next week, after our service, we will make an assessment where we're at with this, with raising the funds for our project and whether it looks like we'll be able to start. So I ask you, friends, to pray. And I ask you to have faith in the future of our parish. And I ask you to act out of a generous spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. Amen.